Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around. I'm back. It's Bobby and Drew, This Life.
Here we are, man. You live, and you were missed. You were missed.
I was missed. Well, the Republicans missed me, I hear.
Well, we you know, I'm sort of agnostic to about everything, and so I had some Republicans in here, and I was on a Fox News show. Doesn't that reflect necessarily any of my feelings? But we'll have Tom Arnold in a little bit later, and so
yeah, what is he?
He's
Tom Arnold.
Yeah, and so you're perceived as the harbinger of the left.
But I want to clarify. I think that what used to be, yes, I was left of center. You were right of center, slightly, right?
Yeah, historically.
Now the whole thing has gotten so crazy that I'm somehow right of center now, and you're.
I've sort of crossed over you.
You're Abraham Lincoln or something.
No, I'm sort of a libertarian constitutionalist. And that's sort of some new ideas, such as, hey, everybody, let's share ideas.
And
imagine that.
I really just care about, you know, the kids in my neighborhood
and
parents raising their kids right.
That's right.
And kind of being kind to each other. And that's why I just don't like the mean-spiritedness from my people on the left. They're the fascists. They're the ones that want the off with the heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this pragmatic kind of conservative agenda.
It's not conservative. It's called pragmatic. Just pragmatic. What helps people?
That's the center.
We hope so.
The over-religiosity craziness.
No.
That's what.
No bueno.
That's, you know, so us centrists need to stick together and stop attacking each other.
And although I chant this libertarian sort of attitude that I have, I am extremely disturbed about the homeless thing here in this city. I'm extremely disturbed by the transportation problems. And a friend of mine is an attorney named Leo Torelli, does a lot of radio. And he said, oh, you want the government to solve those problems? Is that libertarian? I'm like, well, yes, I want them to solve these problems. The government too, right? The government? I'm like, God damn it. Uh-oh, I'm hearing feedback.
Oh.
I think it's you, Susan. Yep, our producer.
So yeah, we just, you know, I think L.A. could solve our problems, but we have a lot of insistence on many different levels.
Because we are overrun by homeless in Los Angeles, like literally overrun, my son has now developed norovirus, which is volatilized, comes off the stool that's all over the street because people use the street as a bathroom now.
Yeah.
So basic government function, sanitation, basic government fail. Now we're having infectious disease outbreaks. The rodents outnumber the homeless about 100 to 1. Now we're going to get flea-borne illnesses this summer. Mark my words. They're going to get on your animals.
And I live in Claremont. None of this is going to happen to me,
all
Nate.
All right, Bobby.
Is it in Claremont?
We
have one homeless person in Claremont. Everybody's very nice to him.
You come into town here. It's Los Angeles that is the problem. I'm telling you. I don't know how they can claim. First of all, I don't know how they sleep at night, the government officials, because This is a failure of basic government, and it should drive them crazy that people are suffering in the streets, and they're endangering the entire population.
I've been dealing with it for 10 years, right, this kind of thing. And I want to pose this to you.
Yeah.
Should they be allowed – if there's government-subsidized housing for the homeless along the L.A. River, which was projected 20 years ago.
No, we've got housing.
But listen, can they drink and take drugs and do whatever they want and live however they want? Because the way that the government says to these people, you have to live the way that we believe you should live. That's why they live on the streets.
Right. So if they wanted drugs, they should drugs and then whatever. And what
in the places that we subsidize.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
That's Dr. Drew saying that,
I'm
by the way.
And
I've been saying that for 15 years. You can't superimpose morality.
No. And then what you do is you bring in resources to help try to create some motivation, expose them to people, get a warm handoff, and get them in the program eventually. You just use motivational enhancement. Is this the kind of life you want to live? Is this really working for you? You know, the stuff we do. All right.
I get it.
Call in 323-649-8268. Hello to all of you out in Facebook land. We appreciate you being here for Facebook Live. We have a couple good guests today for this program.
One I'm very excited about hearing about because, you know, my wife is a huge fan of your television show, Drew.
The Teen Mom Show. So
there's a lot of controversy going on.
We have Farrah's dad, Michael Abraham. Michael, welcome. I think this is welcome back for you, is it not?
Well, thank you, Dr. Drew. Good to see you guys.
Thanks
for having me.
Make sure I have your Twitter handle right. It's @EKLM. Is that right, Abraham?
Yeah, that's the, basically it's Mike backwards, E-K-I-M.
Oh. Then my last name. And then Abraham, you I'm feel foolish for not saying that.
Okay.
We also, in a few minutes, are going to have Grace from the Grace Report you've had on before. But right now, I just want to interview Michael. So, you know, I saw Farah individually.
You did?
Yeah, I had a meeting with Farah after she did not come to the reunion. They let me go talk to her, and Farah very kindly granted me that interview. And I don't know. I told her, and I meant it, I'll miss her. I will miss Farah because we've all been through this very intense experience over the last 10 years, and we're all sort of connected around it. And I've watched these women go from children with liabilities to struggling in their adult life.
Well, for us that don't know, I am the spouse of a devotee, so okay. I know a little bit.
Okay.
Did she quit or was she fired?
Michael. I'll let Michael answer that.
And this is the most popular girl on the show. So it is an interesting thing to a lot of people.
I mean, a lot of things happen. Let's put it this way. I could give you the long version, but I won't. Bottom line is, Farah did sue Viacom and MTV and the production company for wrongful firing. They did settle out of court, which was good for all parties. But the bottom line was this. You know, Morgan came to my home when I wasn't here. He made sure I wasn't here. And they filmed that segment. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it was edited down. It is what it is. Farah got fired. Farah told them, no, I'm not going to do Teen Mom anymore, which I'm very proud for Farah to stand up for what she believed in.
Is that why she didn't come to the reunion? Or is this before? I don't understand.
It was mid-season.
Because she's a gal you want to see on the reunion because she'll lay it all out.
Well, Bob, at the time that reunion was being filmed in New York, negotiations were still underway. And again, I'm not under any legal cease and desist or anything, but there's something I just can't share. I mean, my ex-wife was there. I was not invited to be there. I will share this. When Dr. Drew interviewed Farah, I saw the interview. I watched it 10 times. Unfortunately, I wish there was more dialogue with you, Dr. Drew, because I really think, you know, I've known you for years. From the heart, you were coming from the heart, you know. But I'll share this with you. Farah got rid of three things in her life that really were bringing her down. One, Simon, he's gone. That was a question you asked, and she wouldn't respond. Two, her mother. Farah supports some type of relationship for Sophia's sake so they can have a grandparent relationship. But, Deborah's, she's doing her thing. Unfortunately, she'll throw her daughter under the bus. And the third organization was 11th Street Productions and MTV and Teen Mom. After 10 years, it was way too much. Farah was always the villain. We can ask her, well, she did this, we saw this. Well, let's talk about that. But my daughter and granddaughter, they're the happiest they've ever been. My relationship with Farah is phenomenal.
That's good to hear.
We're trying to have a real life now. And when people try to do a TV show and it's supposed to be reality and they're not really doing reality,
urge everyone to watch the show Unreal if you want to know how reality is constructed.
we were in the belly of that beast for a while.
Yeah, Bob and I were in it in Celebrity Rehab, and we were always, they construct the whatever they're filming into a reality show. We know that well. And my feeling about our program was, well, that's just what they do. And unfortunately, as a result, from our standpoint, they didn't show any treatment. So people always go, where's the treatment? Like, yeah, we did the treatment, just wasn't on TV. And from
But that gets back to the public. The public didn't want to watch people get well.
That's right.
The public doesn't want to see Farah do well.
That's
they
right.
want to see her with Simon.
That's
they
right.
Want that, this is the society we live in.
The schadenfreude.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
so the producers are doing just what they need to do to get eyeballs. And that's what I knew.
Right.
I knew that too. And so I thought, well, I'll try to slip in as much as I can of a meaningful nature. And that's TV too, which is a very nefarious sort of environment. But you got to understand what it is.
But I wish more people that were caught up in that really realized you can use that exposure to better yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly, Celebrity Rehab raised my profile as a counselor so that everyone in the United States and parts of the world know, oh, that's the guy with the hat. So if that's why I have a rehab.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no difference between me and any other KDAC counselor, except for I had this opportunity to be highly visible, and I do my job, and I reap incredible rewards both financially and emotionally from that. I think that the train wreck TV, the Teen Moms and the Beverly Housewives, some of them take advantage of it. Lauren Conrad is the best example of somebody that took advantage of reality television and made a brand for herself and a life for herself.
Well, I would argue Farrah has made a couple of little stumbles.
Well,
those are her choices. My thing is, I don't judge anybody's choices. It's like people struggle.
You know, Dr. Drew, you've known Farrah from day one.
Yeah.
With all our haters, and we have a lot of followers too, thank God for that. That I've shared with you before, she can make lemonade out of lemons. Yes, she's made some challenging mistakes that I would not have even attempted to do, but she still is maintaining her family. She's a phenomenal mother. She's a single mother. She does not have a significant other or baby daddy. Derek's died. So, she's doing quite well. Right now, I shared with Susan. I mean, we have a studio that's making her first book, My Teenage Dream Ended, which is a New York Times bestseller, into a movie. Farrah and Sophia, they're studying scripted work now. They were focusing on our businesses. But the biggest thing is we're living our lives the way we need to live our lives without having people tell us how we should live our lives. You know, that's the way it is. And this last season, Dr. Drew, if you saw any of it, you probably saw Amy and I, we got engaged in Italy. I really thought it was one of our best seasons we ever really did. And then Morgan pulled this garbage on us and everything tanked.
Well, to be fair, you know, because I was hearing about it as it was happening. That was Morgan was handed a job from MTV, right? I mean, this was way above him, and then he had to be the messenger, and that was what that was rough.
A funny side note. When I go into the DVR to see something that I saved, you know what's in there, Drew, at my house? Teen Mom OG, like three different episodes.
Why don't you guys come to the reunions? You're welcome to come. We'll happy to see you there.
And Sesame Street. There's no sports in there. There's never the thing I'm looking for. But Teen Mom.
Hang on a second, Michael. I'm having a technical issue with the phone screening equipment here. I want to try to... before we bring Grace in from the Grace Report, who we're going to bring in just a second, Michael, Grace represents lots of viewers, and they have lots of tough questions. And I know you're happy to give them a chance to ask them. There we go. But this question, I thought was very interesting. I want to take it right now, and before we talk to Grace, and I think you'll have probably something interesting to say about it. This is Kimberly. Kimberly, go ahead.
Hi, I had a whole other question I wanted to ask. Michael,
go ahead.
But after that last speaker, I want to say that Farrah she should be thanking MTV instead of causing drama. Without MTV, she would have had none of this other stuff come to fruition. The porn, the businesses, nothing. And the way she treats the staff on MTV was ridiculous.
Okay, but but you had a question, Kimberly, about, I thought it was really a good question. May I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Michael, do you regret the fact that Farrah ever really did the show and at 16 sort of signed up?
Right.
Okay.
Because her fame went to her head, yeah.
Well, I don't went to her head. It's hard for us all to judge. We shouldn't sit in judgment of people struggling through their lives. I would urge you not to do that. It's not our most becoming human quality, but go ahead, Michael.
Okay, to answer Kimberly's question, we'd do it over again. We're very thankful for the opportunity that we've had over the years with MTV and Viacom and everybody, from the other women and their families. We have no regrets. The other issue, Kimberly brought up how Farrah treats the staff. I'll share this with you. On last season, when Kristen and David, the film producer, never worked on us, that was an edited situation, and they didn't really give you everything about what happened with that team.
Now you're talking to devout listener, the watcher, right? Of what's going on behind the scenes.
But real quick, and I think that Dr. Drew, hopefully you'll support me on this. Mm. We're humans. For every action, there's a reaction. Sarah does not throw people under the bus without having some type of cause. The issue with Christian, she continually made us late. We're business people. Yes, we have obligations to MTV. We give them our schedules, and they continue to do that. And that's what happened. Kimberly, if you're talking about Christian, okay? But there's a lot of manipulation and editing going on there, okay?
Right. I mean, everybody knows that about reality television.
I'm not so sure. But I think people feel like they're watching somebody's life.
No, but
verbatim.
I think that whoever you are, they will amplify that with their storylines and their whatever.
That's
it's not like she's a Sunday school teacher who gets along with everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they amplify who she is, and that's what the audience wants. These exaggerations. I'll give you an example in music. Led Zeppelin and all the original rock bands that started playing arenas couldn't just stand there and play like they did in bars.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, and Jimmy Page talks about this, exaggerate their strumming.
Yeah.
Pete Townsend, exaggerate with this big whirlwind guitar thing, because there's people a quarter mile away from you that have to see you.
Right.
I think reality television just does that. It just edits and exaggerates for the viewer, right?
Well, I know that about it. But
you're empathetic, but not as empathetic as when you're on TV.
Right. That's what I'm extra empathetic. That's right. That's true. There is a fundamental confusion also out there. And help me with this, Bob, which is that people believe that if somebody, let's say, has an unregulated behavior, an unregulated emotion, or some behavior that's out of line, the way to deal with it is to set them straight and yell at them and let them know. What happens when you yell at people who are struggling?
They yell at you back.
Or that's the best thing that could happen.
They kill themselves.
Four shields. Well, they can do that.
That's why I don't yell at them.
Four shields go up. They don't hear a damn thing you say.
We saw that with Sarah over the years, the last three or four reunions.
Four shields go up. So what you have to do. So, and I saw this recently with Jeanette.
Who handles fame well? I've seen a handful of people handle it well. This is like reality television fame. I'm talking about Kurt Cobain fame. He didn't handle his fame very well. Name any. Marlon Brando. Who handles fame well? Not many.
No.
And so you take these 16-year-old girls.
You have to not care about it.
You take these 16-year-old girls and you expect them to handle fame differently than Donald Trump does or Kurt Cobain does. It's impossible.
So let me finish my thought. So I saw this recently with Janelle where people are like, did you know that she drove with the kids and she brandished a gun? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, here's what I know. What I know is the sheriffs are there all the time. Child Protective Service has been there 30 times. And now they show that – you'll see it on this season – that each child has their own therapist, and there's couples therapies, and there's
Is this in West LA?
It's in South Carolina. And my point is, they're getting tons of intervention. You screaming at Janelle does not help things, or calling the sheriff does not help things. It makes it worse. And there's a team of professionals whose responsibility it is to help her with her life as she struggles. That's their responsibility. Nobody else's. Not mine. Not yours. And if all you had to do with people that are struggling is just set them straight, we wouldn't have to work. You and I,
they wouldn't even end up where we are.
Yeah, you would never have any of that. So you've got to get more sophisticated about what you're watching. To that end, Michael, I want to introduce you to Grace. She does the Grace Report. She's a diligent fan of the show, and she's very thoughtful about things. She's asked tough questions, but she has fair questions. So I want to give her a chance to talk to you. Hi, Grace.
Hey guys.
Hey, there you are.
It's great to be back. I'm excited to finally get to talk to Michael.
This is pretty cool for you, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And Michael, too, I think a lot of people, last time you were on, you talked about some of your own struggles and traumas and stuff like that. So, you know, people watching today or listening today may not remember that. So at some point you might want to review that. But let's give Grace a chance to ask questions. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Fire away.
Sure. So I was watching a video with Sarah. She recently, I guess, kind of relaunched her YouTube channel in some sort of way. And she came out with a long form video. And at a certain point, she started crying about the way that growing up, her mother treated her sister Ashley so badly. And I was wondering if you can kind of expound on what she meant by that and why that was so heartbreaking to her. And if this was pre or post fame. That it really took like a nose.
I told you she asked good questions. and as always, Michael, you're in charge. If you don't feel comfortable answering or you feel that there's a liability,
No,
of course not.
I'm good on this one. Yeah. You know, Farrah has a big heart. She loves her half-sister, Ashley. But what she was talking about primarily was, you know, I mean, Deborah, her mother, you know, physically, you can say abused or whatever, it just depends. We address that on WeTV's Married Boot Camp. But Deborah would hit the girls. I was not involved. I was not permitted to be involved in discipline. It's probably a major issue of what happened. And to be quite honest with this, I'll take some responsibility. Dr. Drew, you and I have talked about this over the year about being there and not abandoning her. I abandoned my daughter. I didn't support her on that issue that she was crying about and other issues. So yeah, she feels very sad about what had gone on. And that YouTube was put out there, to be honest, it showed real Farrah. You know, I mean, she wasn't, excuse the expression, ragging on people or taking blame. I mean, she took responsibility from everything, from adult videos on down.
Grace?
Yeah, she really did. And another question that I had in mind was that Farrah said that producers had set her up to be a villain. And so why do you think that she was the one sort of chosen to be that? Or is it just that she had more outbursts than the other girls?
Let me. I think I actually am a better person to answer that.
I have a suspicion of that too. Also,
okay, let's each answer. Michael, go ahead.
Well, you know, you basically got to look at the evolution of this TV show, and in the beginning, they kept it pretty truthful. Okay, when Lauren was still around, everything was doing pretty good. But I think why Farrah got pulled into it after the fourth season of Teen Mom, they tried doing the thing with just Macy and the other girls. They brought Farrah back. Morgan did the thing about, okay, Macy, we're bringing Farrah back. And they basically put that in the frying pan. Farrah made their job easy to make drama. And the same thing with Amber. They, you know.
Right. And one thing I observed was, when you go back to season 3, season 4, more showing more positivity, I remember. Right,
with Farrah,
yeah, with them, and they're turning their lives around. They're getting a job. They're working relationships out. And I bet you numbers tanked. And then as soon as Farrah was let loose to say what she wanted, and the other gal, I forget the other gal, who went to jail.
Well, I'm gonna
God,
tell you
I feel like I'm in the middle of Gossip Central right now. But once those girls were set free to be villains and be perpetrators and be this exaggerated form of who they are, I believe, numbers went up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they – am I correct, Michael, or what?
No, you're very correct. And,
that's what happened to us, too.
which
yeah. Anytime people do well, the numbers go down.
Yeah, right. So.
I mean, they capitalized on it. I mean, Farrah has always been trending since we began. And they didn't really take advantage of it. They saw an opportunity, and that's what they did.
I think we have to say, though, that Farrah, in her 16 and pregnant days, her relationship with you guys was completely different because she was dependent on you guys. And then once Farrah became financially independent from the show, your dynamics kind of shifted, you know, from Deborah. We saw Deborah hit her on camera in 16 and pregnant, but once Farrah was the more financially secure, she started kind of kissing her ass. And is that what changed the way Farrah treated you guys? She would call you guys by your first names. I think she would berate you guys a lot. I think that a lot of her villainous isn't how she treats other cast or producers. It's the way she treats you guys as parents. And is that something that you kind of find off?
It's usually about reason. I mean, Farrah called me Michael from probably the first time she called me Michael. She was 2 years old, okay? That's where that started. It's an old story. But and the thing is, you know, the last couple of years, I mean, 10 years, Farrah's been going through an emotional roller coaster. And then you put on top of some of the social norms that she broke, that'll be working and, you know, having one adult video sold for two, her adult toys, whatever, the stigma of her castmates, the three of them that basically went against her, you know, judging her. I mean, it's just like being a cheerleader and you get pregnant in your senior year, and your whole school turns against you, which also
that
happened.
That was sad. I saw that.
The whole thing happened.
Well,
the whole thing happened.
I think they were waiting to turn against her, though.
What really got the,
there's certain because I work with a high school here for teen pregnant women. There's certain girls that the student body want to turn against. Mm. They're not like they're envied or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the general everyday student, they don't turn against. They're supportive of. It's very strange. I think that's what was going on with the teen mom
gals. It's also a different time.
The ones that are likable and amiable were supported. The ones that are a little edgy and a little mouthy and a little, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying, but I think they even Macy had trouble like this. Yeah,
that's the Midwest, though, too.
Bob, you know, Macy and Farrah, they were pretty close, I mean, as individuals. I mean, Farrah, the reason why they turned her high school, most of her friends turned against her, she's a very beautiful woman.
That's what I'm saying, envy, right?
Yeah, she modeled Bobber's on school modeling since she's been 10, okay? With all due respect, Deborah and I, we were blessed. We lived in a, you know, multi-million-dollar house, you know, and we had good income, and we always tried to, you know, participate in the community. But again, you know, hey, she's down, we're going to hit her, you know, and that's what they did, and that's why she...
That's what I'm saying. That reinforces what I said.
And Grace, back to the villain question, which was really a good one. Amber was your original villain.
That's the girl. That went to prison,
right? She was awful.
She was not awful.
For domestic violence.
She was really struggling.
The way she was beating up on her boyfriend and like almost pushing him down the stairs.
Yes, it was inexcusable.
Grace,
she went to prison for it.
No, I got to help her communicate with you. Grace, this is how you communicate.
With who? With me?
With you. She's not my cup of tea. Because I used to use words around Drew like hate. I can't stand her. I fucking hate her. And Drew just gets in your face. So I've chosen for the last 15 years to say, that gal's not my cup of tea.
because Grace, the way I look at it, I don't feel like it's my, you know, I don't feel.
That girl grants a visceral reaction.
Amber?
Yes.
Amber.
I don't even want to know her name. I just know she's the one that went to jail.
But you haven't seen her recovery.
I have. I watch every episode. Oh, Drew, what are you talking about?
Has she recovered, though? Because she's on that marriage bootcamp show. Like,
She still bullies the boy around.
She waxes and wanes, right?
Grace, that's another word for it.
She did multiple years in a prison, in a treatment center, where she became a peer counselor. Made a tremendous amount of progress. Now, what happens when you get out?
Easy on the mountaintop, down in the village. I just see her bullying that boy all the time, and he's just
the new guy.
Yeah.
Both Amber.
She just has contempt when she looks at her spouse.
I don't think it's contempt, but
Grace, do you know what I'm talking about?
I 100% agree. Okay, she's
not your cup of tea.
Let me tell you what both Amber and Farrah have, and it's not something that they feel good about, I promise you. They have unregulated hostility at times. Mm-hmm. And when they can't regulate their hostility, it comes out all over the place. You know what that is. You and I deal with it all the time clinically. And you know what the person feels like later after they've had those outbursts. It's a syndrome. It's a thing, and it's hard, and it's hard to deal with, and it's very unpleasant to be the object of it. Trust me, I've been the object from both of them. It's not fun, but my job again is not to condemn them and judge them, and because I can't change it by doing so. It's just to be there, to be present. But Grace, you can ask the hard questions. Go ahead, Grace. Keep asking.
Go ahead, Grace. Let's hear another one.
Great. So, Michael, I'm kind of curious about what you feel you contributed to Farrah's issues. I know that Debs OG came out with a new single, and she claimed that you had cheated at least 20 times. So do you find that might have affected Farrah growing up?
Well, the 23 times is kind of a lie. but let's talk about infidelity.
14.
Let me frame it.
I would have remembered all 14 of them.
Let me frame it. Your marriage was not great, right?
Yeah. So let's go back probably three reunion shows for Dr. Drew says, "Oh, Michael, thank you. It's the first time we have you out. What happened to you? You know, I have a question. What happened to your marriage and my infidelity?" Mm. Okay. So the thing is, the infidelity could have caused it. Anytime there's a divorce, there's some actions. But I tell you, the one thing that was really negative is when somebody uses infidelity as a weapon. Because when that happened, Farrah was 13 years old. And Deborah told Farrah, And I tell you, one of the hardest things I ever had to look through was explaining to my 13-year-old daughter, my only child, by the way, why I cheated on her mom.
Why?
Yeah, she came and asked me. Okay? She asked me.
What's the advice? That's not a 13-year-old child.
You talk about the relationship not working.
But, Bob, my point is, Deborah used that as a weapon.
Right. Like pointed it at you. I know. Used the kid as a weapon.
Let's get back to Grace's question. What I contributed to probably some affairs challenges. One, even though I was there physically, financially, I would remove myself because I had so much difficulty being around Deborah. Okay? So I would abandon Farrah when I would abandon basically Deborah trying to get away to have some freedom.
And Michael, let me frame this even more, though. And Michael, maybe I'll let you sort of discuss whatever detail you want, but Michael had some severe trauma from his childhood, and he would dissociate. That's that shutting down and pulling away and abandoning he's talking about. A lot of that started emotionally as a survival technique from your childhood trauma. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yes, and we didn't get too much into it, even in marriage boot camp when it came out, that I was sexually assaulted, okay, when I was very young by a family member. Nobody knows who it is. My parents don't know who it is. I kept it quiet. Farrah did not know about this till October 16th when we filmed marriage boot camp, October of 2016. And after I put that out, her and I really put a lot of chapters away. But yes, Dr. Draw, I'll agree with you. When a parent has issues, they trickle down to the children. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Let's take a quick call here, too. This is Julie. Is that right? Julia. Julia?
Hello?
Hey, Julia. What's up?
Hi.
Hi, Julia.
Hi. I had a question for Michael.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask him if he has any concerns about Dr. David and kind of the relationship that, you know, I know Farrah, you know, has some type of relationship because Sophie is involved, but I wanted to know if he kind of had any concerns with David, because when I've seen on the show, you know, David seems like he brings some kind of, you know, negativity and has bullied Farrah in the past. So I just wanted to know what he thought about that relationship.
Got it.
Go ahead. Okay. I'll try to be fair because I want both Deborah and David to be happy, okay? But what happened over the last year and a half, Deborah met David, they get married in 3 months. It's her business. David's a very outspoken person. Unfortunately, he's not a psychiatrist. He's trying to practice on my daughter. And so that really set a lot of division there. I shared with Dr. Drew that Farrah, basically, her relationship with Deborah and David is non-existent. I mean, you know, there's probably conversation. There's definitely discussion and access to Sophia for Deborah. But it's off. You know, we wish them the best, but the only thing we see is negativity coming from them right now.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, so my next question is, in Farrah's book and or her recent video that I referenced earlier, she had mentioned that there's a certain point that you and her late boyfriend and baby daddy, Derek, had pulled knives on each other. So I'm curious what would have spawned that, especially with him probably being a teenager at that time.
I'll try to answer real fast, Dr. Drew. There were two incidents. The first incident was when I caught them in my house having sex, and there was no knives to that particular incident.
Though, had you had one?
No, you get it. Michael, let me help you with that. You get a garden hose.
Derek was he was a state wrestler, and Dr. Drew, you've seen my size, but I can handle myself. And I explained to him that I was a Vietnam vet, and if I catch him in my house without me knowing about it, he needs to watch Full Metal Jacket and know what a VC special is. So, after this, Farrah was probably 7 months pregnant. We were really watching her close. She let him in the house. We didn't know it. I heard something again. I went up there. And yes, I had a knife in my hand. It seemed like us Abrahams have a knife problem, but we really don't. But I was cooking. I went upstairs, and there he was. He grabbed my phone, called 911, And the police hauled me out of my own home. And the reason why, because he wasn't trespassing. Both times he wasn't trespassing, because in Iowa, if a family member lets you in the house, it's not trespassing.
Lovely. So the law comes into the family home.
And I had a knife. I didn't touch him. I didn't even go in the room. But the young man, unfortunately, peed his pants and did another mess. So it's unfortunate.
Now, okay. did
you have to go to anger management and be on probation for that?
I was on probation. I did not have any.
In his own home. In his own home. Mr. Libertarian, speak up. It's crazy. You can't even kick a boy out of your house who's having sex with your teenage daughter.
What's that, Michael?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
To say, you know, they threw four felony counts against me, but
in his house.
No, but that's, you know, state law, different state laws. So,
why are you being silent, Drew? That should piss you off.
I wasn't there. Okay.
Come on, Bob. Let me clear my name here a little bit.
Go ahead.
I'm saying that what you did, your teenage daughter was having sex in your house, and you kicked a guy out, and you ended up being in trouble. That's America now. You know what I mean? That's crazy. I was thrown out of many a gal's house when I was that age, and it wasn't a crime against the father. It was the right thing to do as the father. Correct?
Well, it was you. So definitely the right thing.
Yeah. So, okay, I've made amends for that.
So needless to say, Derek got in a car accident. We lost him, unfortunately. The state main witness fell. Farah would not testify. She refused to testify and be a state witness. So everything was
crazy.
I think that kid had way more issues than has really been. We don't want to, you know, I don't know him, but he sounded like there was a lot going on with him, a lot.
And at a certain point, I think that the girls, later on, seasons later, because I'm more of a late viewer.
Yes, I know you are.
Right? So the guys seem to be ones that want to gravitate towards the fame on a certain level, some of them. Right?
Mike got in a fight with one of them.
And how do you wise your kid up, Michael, to that they just want to be on television? You know what I mean?
Well,
if your daughter's going out with somebody that just wants to be on television, how do you parent that? Because that's rarefied air of parenting right there.
It's hard.
I hope you learned your lesson from the knife thing.
Hey, you guys, let me do something. I want to take a little break, if you don't mind. We're, of course, talking to Grace from the Grace Report. Grace, give us all your particulars where people can find you.
Sure, yeah. You can find me on my YouTube channel, Grace Report. Also under Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the same name as well.
And as I said, Michael is Mike spelled backwards, E-K-I-M Abraham is his Twitter handle. We're going to take a little break. Got a lot more to go. Got a bunch of calls. Grace staying with us. Michael staying with us. Bob staying with us. Be right back. Well, I think everyone's aware we just went through a terrible flu season and allergy season coming up. Hydrolite. Stay ahead of your hydration. Quite simply, Hydrolite is the best oral rehydration product I've ever tried. Said it a million times. This is an exact product I intended to create because I knew we had a need for it. And these guys, apparently they own Australia and they brought it over here. And I can't say enough about it. My son just had a norovirus. He was extremely sick. And we literally avoided hospitalization by keeping him rehydrated with Hydrolite. So I am grateful to them. I understand what this is. This is, you know, this is the kind of replacement you need if you're dehydrated, if you're vomiting, if you have diarrhea, if you're working out hard, and just in daily in life, some people tend to not pay attention to staying hydrated, and this is the way to do so. It's more than water. You got to understand, water is one piece of hydration, but the solute, what's in the water, is what really gives you the volume replacement. So whether you're sick or not, you can absolutely benefit from proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water. Hydrolite does this better than sports drinks, or certainly better than water alone. Great flavors, orange, berry, lemonade. I, of course, like the fizzy tablets that you put in a bottle of water, and there you've got them. Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times your electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow instructions. So you can find Hydrolite at Rite Aid or at Hydrolite.com/Dr. Drew, D-R-D-R-E-W. And for a limited time for our listeners, you can save 30% on Hydrolite. Just click on the banner on my website at drdrew.com and use the code DrDrew18, D-R-D-R-E-W-18 at checkout at
Hydralyte.com/DRDREW and use the code DRDREW18 at checkout. Get that great discount. Hydralyte, you will not be disappointed, I promise. Hydralyte. Oh, we're back.
I just drank a whole bottle of Hydralyte.
And Hydralyte literally got my son through the norovirus. He might have had to have been hospitalized if he didn't have the oral
rehydration.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Don't forget the bergamot.
Oh, yeah, and bergamot. Our friends at Bergamot Pro, Bergamot Plus.
I haven't taken that. Is that. What does that do? Something for your prostate?
No. It's polyphenols. It's good for your cholesterol. It's good for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, too. But it's not for you.
Let me speak for Hydralyte. Because I get to. You always do the commercials. Okay. So, Hydralyte, if you chew nicotine gum as much as I do, that dehydrates you. So, you need Hydralyte if you're trying to stop smoking. Swear to God.
You're right. That's an interesting juxtaposition. Yeah, thank you.
Didn't know that. That's good
advice.
Drew's
the one who told me. Do you know the story of my nicotine gum addiction?
Yes,
it's your husband's fault.
I know, but
I tried.
Are you smoking cigarettes?
For 15 years.
There you
go. I'm going bankrupt from buying nicotine gum.
Well, Hydralyte doesn't.
You're welcome.
Hydralyte doesn't want to promote it as an alcohol rehabilitation. For nicotine.
Sure, it's a great note.
We should mention
all
it to
of
him.
The patches dehydrate
yes,
you.
They do.
The gum and the lozenges all
even
dehydrate
if,
you.
Even if they make you feel dehydrated, this can rehydrate.
And we're all getting old and dehydrated.
Let me show you a little thing. I think it's why people claim they have a headache
from
when they're trying to stop smoking.
Right.
Because they're dehydrated.
Could be.
I've been drinking this stuff forever.
Hydralyte, yeah.
And I don't have headaches. I feel fine. I feel 100%.
God bless
you, Bob.
But
let's get back to Michael.
Okay.
And this thing. I know I'm hyper-focused on it. It happened to a friend of mine here in L.A. You can't kick the boy out of your house because your daughter's the one that invited them.
I know. I get it.
That's
Listen.
Crazy.
Yes. Or if you
I'm,
do it.
I'm sorry, Michael, that you had to go through that. But I hope it was filmed.
No,
it was not.
It was not.
Oh my God! Morgan and the girl, the other producer, they missed that.
No, it was way before their time. But Grace, I'll turn it back to you for some questions. Then we'll take some calls. Go ahead.
Sure, Michael. I'm curious about your opinions on some of Farrah's recent parenting decisions. She'd recently got a touch up on her butt implants or whatever they are, and she'd brought Sophia in the room and posted a selfie of it. Sometimes she does other cosmetic procedures like down there, and I believe she's used Sophia's Instagram account to comment on them and other odd, inappropriate things. I believe Sophia was there when you guys were negotiating her adult video contract as well. So how do you feel these things are going to affect Sophia long term?
Okay, first of all, I did not negotiate her adult contract, okay? Mm-hmm. If that's what you said. That's what the perception was. That was part of the PR game.
Sorry. Okay. What were you doing at Vivid with Sophia, sir?
I was there. No, I met with Vivid CEO, okay? That I did not negotiate. That's what we have attorneys for. Unfortunately, TMZ and everybody else, including MTV Press, they took advantage of all that.
Yeah, but you know the world you're in. That's a great storyline. The dad helped with the porn. This is like Victorian area America. They love salacious, gossipy,
especially when your parents are
stuff.
Business people.
And so just say, Michael, I didn't have nothing to do with it. That's just gossip on TMZ. You know what I mean? The more you defend yourself in these things, the worse you look.
Okay, because, as a parent, I wanted the opportunity to find out exactly what happened, not what I read what happened. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, as a parent, or even as a business partner, which I was not part of that, you want to find out what's going on, especially if it's your only daughter, okay? And she's only 20 years old. So I had every right to be there. And I called Steve Hirsch out. He had at that time an 11-year-old child. I asked him how he would feel when his child gets involved in the adult industry. So, it wasn't me trying to negotiate. It was me trying to get my finger under him.
Hey, Grace, I have a couple. Maybe I can help with this too. We have a couple of sort of Sophia kinds of questions here.
I want to go back and address Grace's about those procedures.
Yeah.
First of all, her vagina or custom vagina or whatever rebuilt. Sophia was not there, had nothing to do with that. Her butt implants, whatever. Yeah, my granddaughter was there. There's nothing wrong with that. There's so many women and men, especially men now, getting plastic surgery out there. You know, the biggest challenge and the greatest sin for youth right now is ignorance and not having correct education or experience. That's what we saw through the 40s, 50s, and 60s of young women being shamed about their bodies and sex. So when they were abused, they were shamed. That was a setup. We don't believe in that. Sophia, you know, we protect her. You know, butt implants, there's nothing wrong with butt implants. You know, the vagina procedure, she said, there was nothing going on. You know, there was no Sophia there.
Right. But, let's get this from
her. She was commenting from Sophia's Instagram account, though, which is a bit odd, wouldn't you think?
It is a little odd. But again, if you look at the legality of things, you got to be 18 years old to really have social media on Twitter and everything else, even though that's what they say that everybody that's under age is on.
10?
But, yeah.
Nine. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing.
But, I mean, you can understand that people get a little nervous about that stuff, yeah. Right? So, I mean,
Dr. was on the Christian. I got a church. I was at church today. I have people come up to me. How can you come to our church when your daughter's doing all these things? I go, is my daughter doing anything illegal? I don't think so.
That's an interesting thing. Is it a Christian church?
Of course.
Yes, it is. It's an interesting challenge to Christian values, I got to say, because they're supposed to be accepting, right?
Oh, but Stormy Daniels isn't? Come on. Yeah.
Let's talk with Brina.
Let's not get Bob too fired up.
I know,
liberalism will come out in me again.
Brina? Brianna? There's a caller here. Is it Brina?
Brina?
Brianna?
Brianna.
Brianna, what's happening?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hey, Mike. I was wondering, how often are you actually getting to see Sophia? I know nowadays most grandparents are very active in their raising their children's children now. So how often are you actually seeing Sophia?
Okay, well, let's honestly answer this question. Up to January, I probably saw Sophia every other day, if not every day. This last year, Farah and Sophia lived up in my home for 8 months, so I saw her every day. Now that they're residing both in Texas and in L.A., but they're in L.A. a heck of a lot, I see her probably every 3 weeks personally, and I talk to her every other day, if not every day, on the phone. We do FaceTime. So I'm I'm still her male figure. You know, she has no father. Sophia comes to me all the time, and we talk to her all the time. So I'm very much involved.
This is another Sophia, probably an Instagram question or something. This is Andrea.
Oh, yes, hello. I was just wondering what either Farah or Michael are doing to protect Sophia from, say, like online predators. A couple of weeks ago, Sophia posted a Snapchat and mm-hmm. adult men were commenting on how hot she is.
Yikes.
Okay. I think the question, and forgive me, I still got those hearing aids, Dr. Drew, but about predators, we monitor all of her, we record everything, and we have had a history working with both federal and national authorities. And when that happened, we turned it in, and then we work closer with Facebook and Twitter and their security. So all you can really do is turn the stuff in. Anything that's been out there that I've seen has been that bad, but there are questions out there. And to be quite honest with you, Farah has no TV now. She's not letting Sophia watch TV, and she's really limited on her social media. Most of the time, if you see her post, Farah is there. Where I'm there.
Andrew, where are you calling from?
New Zealand.
Oh, wow, New Zealand.
So weird. This show has such reach.
Viacom, baby.
So,
Facebook.
Right?
That's Facebook.
That's Facebook, too. That's how she found out about us. Well, my son loved New Zealand, and everyone I know loves New Zealand, so you thank you for joining us.
You know one thing I know about New Zealand? They don't want Americans moving there.
Yeah, anywhere good. Doesn't want Californians or Americans.
That's not quite true.
Well, you have to start a business.
Oh,
you have to, thank you very much. You have
all
to right. prove to this to the country that you're an asset to them.
Right. Well, that's what every country does, except
not
us.
England will take me in a second.
No, you have to show how you're going to make a living.
Do you know my story? I was going to – Jeffrey Lee Pierce, the guy who died, who you – the confusion with you and I, right, had given up his citizenship because in England they give you heroin at the pharmacy. So nice. He tells me about it. I try to do it. They don't want me because I'm a convicted felon.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, you're one of those
– I'm American. I can't even leave.
All right, Grace. We're going to wrap up in a minute. I'll give you one last question here if you wish, Grace.
Okay, really quickly, just to follow up with Andrea, that Snapchat thing with Sophia wasn't the only time that she had gone live and kind of opened up to strangers kind of thing. It was an Instagram, I think just 2 weeks ago as well, where she went live. There's a time when she gave out her phone number as well, so I do think that it is something that Sarah needs to take more seriously. But my main question would be, what's been going on with Deborah lately? In the last Teen Mom OG reunion, she really called Farrah's mental health into question. Mm-hmm. And I was curious how the family has handled that and what they think her motivation is, whether or not it's kind of to discredit her.
Michael can't address that part as well as I can. That was way edited down, my interview with her. And it didn't come across the way the conversation was at all. I don't watch these things, so I don't watch it very carefully. But what I saw, I was like, oh, that's not what that felt like. It seemed a little more.
It was conversational when she mentioned it, and
conversation. It was very like, gosh, I wish I'd done more if I'd understood these things.
But what about saying her mental health?
She said I'm beginning to understand that Farrah may have a personality thing. Yeah, and there's things to be done about it. I wish I'd known. I could have helped.
Ain't nothing to be done about it.
No, DBT helps. And we discussed DBT, in fact. And no, she was.
I think age has something to do with
age.
How
they
people
get better.
Definitely,
yep.
definitely.
They get better. That data is there. But anyway, so the point is, it was much more of a mom being concerned and being regretful she hadn't done things.
You know how wonderful Mary Carey was the other last time?
I know.
That's just age. That's wisdom and age and experience.
And recovery.
But recurring remitting recovery.
But recovery. But recovery. Anyway, so we'll give Michael a chance to answer. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. To get back with that now, Deborah's an attention seeker, okay?
If she's labeling your daughter.
She didn't label. Didn't come across.
Well, there what diagnosis is she suggesting? Yeah. Obviously, borderline.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah, but unfortunately.
It's projective identification, isn't it?
Right. You and I are saying that. So okay. She's not in a position to say that. And
you don't have to say it. I'll say it.
And they didn't put that on
That's
television.
That's the pot calling the kettle black is what
no,
they say.
No, but it was on the blog. She gave it a couple of specific names on a blog. I don't remember what they were, but she threw some things out there. And I'm curious, is this with a biopic? She's shaking in her boots about what's going to come out. What's going on there?
Well, let's put it this way. For anybody, if you're on TV or if you have a private life, your mental health issues should be taken care of by you.
Right. And your professionals.
Farrah has her professionals.
Yep.
I have an excellent shrink and counselor that I see. Okay. I don't know what Deborah does. I wish she would. But unfortunately, her spouse thinks he can now diagnose Farrah and me. So you have to understand they both feed into each other. I mean, Grace, you don't see me doing a rap. You don't see me running around in leather clothes. yes, I will miss Dr. Drew and a lot of the people on the show.
That was a good one, Michael.
Things go on. We knew this show would not go on forever, okay? And the bottom line is, I'll miss my check, but hey, my income already replaced it. So Deborah's having difficulty. That's why, you will not see me and like today, you will not see me throw my daughter under the bus. Even when I know that there's a little gray line, most all these subjects, Farrah and I, we talked about this. The last 2 years, we basically squeezed in the last 10 years where we were lacking being a daughter and a father, squeezed that in, and this last season was the result. If you really think about all the seasons compared to this last seventh season, with Amy and me and Sophia and Farrah, we were happy campers. It was everybody else whacked out.
I think Grace's questions are about Sophia and about protecting her type of thing.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because adults get what they get. Who cares? But children are innocent, and you have to be a little mindful that there are a lot of freaks out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you can't have your kid out there exposed to that kind of stuff.
But Michael just answered that. He said they sent it to the federal government. They just and then Grace said, please monitor more
carefully.
Said the libertarian, the government is going to protect Sophia. No, her grandfather and her mother and the people who love her are going to.
Yes, that's true.
And you just got to be wise, because I don't want to think it, but Drew has really educated me. Like, this stuff goes on every day, everywhere in America.
Yep.
Molestation, abuse of children.
Yep.
It is real. It is
rampant.
Going on, and it's rampant. And so to be flip about allowing your 11-year-old or 10-year-old to be on Instagram being called sexy by freaks, that's kind of irresponsible. And I think that's what Grace was trying to say, right, Grace?
And to add to that, the fact that she's allowed to wear so much makeup that the school, you know, brings Farrah into the office and says, listen, you're 8-year-old daughter cannot be wearing this much makeup, you
well,
know.
Do you have children, Grace?
No.
Okay. Well, no. I do, and here's the thing that it ruminates with you, and everyone that does knows they just do what you do. So if Farrah dons makeup first thing in the morning before anybody sees her, that's what her child is going to do. And so this is what's supposed to educate us as adults and as parents. Like, we need to look at ourselves, because it comes out in our children. And if she wants to objectify herself and she wants to wear makeup and do porn, who cares? But when you look yourself in the mirror, which is your daughter, and you see that, that should wake you up more than Grace, putting something on the internet, more than Drew confronting her on television. When you see your daughter objectifying herself at 10 years old, I think it would wake anybody up, wouldn't it, Drew?
Yeah, but I don't think Farrah would say that's objectification. That's I don't think she would. I think that's.
I'm like a dinosaur.
You
know, I'm a dinosaur.
You can ask her the question, why did we leave it out there?
Yeah.
The reason why we left it out there is because the authorities are still tracking these people, okay?
Oh, okay.
So we're just not letting it go. So
why did you leave it out there? Why is it on multiple things? Like, it's happened on Snapchat, then it's happened on Instagram as well, is what I mean. Like, why is she even on social media, kind of thing?
Well, my suspicion would be
money, and that's what's the root of all evil.
You guys, we got to wrap this all up. I'm sorry to push towards the end here. I know it's an interesting conversation. Grace, thank you for joining us. Appreciate all your good, tough questions, as always. And anything for me before I let you go? As usual, you have no uppercut or anything before?
It's been great. Well, you know what? My final question was going to be, what will you absolutely not miss about working with Teen Mom? Because Farrah said that she suffered like a lot of things from producers antagonizing and stuff. So, like, as you leave Teen Mom, like, for good, what is one thing that you won't miss at all?
Are you leaving it for good?
Oh, is the manipulation.
Yes. I was scared.
Probably not. I mean, I didn't mind filming, okay? But the manipulation towards the end is the one thing I'm not going to miss at all. You know, I'll miss some of the people, even though everybody thinks we don't talk to them, but we do talk to some of them. You know, Gary's phenomenal. Taylor is a wonderful father. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he is a good guy, man, that guy.
You know, Tyler,
you like
he
him?
And I go back and forth, you know, but Tyler. I only wish them the very best, each and every one of them. That's all I can really say. But the thing is, I'll leave you with this. Farrah has always been the first. They'll argue that. She's the first for podcasts, books, and she's the first one to leave. But guess what? It's always better to get off the ship while it's going kind of smooth before it's starting to sink. And after 10 years, it's time for a change. And Farrah has a lot to, so much more to live, and so many more surprises. Dr. Drew, you know that her book's being made into a movie, and she's working in the script. I mean, she's trying to move from reality TV, which is extremely hard, to scripted work.
Well, you should know.
So,
you should see her. Yeah, you should know that that all the producers, you know, even when they were having difficulties with her, would always say, you know, the one thing about Farrah, when she was all business. She was all business.
Well, let me say it how they really say it. She is television gold.
No, they wouldn't. I'm not talking about that.
She is, though.
That's you. I'm telling you that literally they would go like, you know, when it was really, you know, crunch time, she was about getting stuff done. And so that was her thing. So Grace, thank you, and
Grace,
Michael, great talk to you. Good luck with everything. Please send my best to Farrah. I hope we'll stay in touch, and if we can do anything to support you guys, you let us know. Okay.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Come on, keeping on.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye bye.
And a reminder: please go to doctor.com, click through on the Hydrolite banner. You get 30% off with your purchase. As Bob told you, he's using it regularly. We all do. My son got through norovirus. Thank you. because then also if you want to get some special prices on Bergamot, the banner at doctor.com, we'll give you a discount as well. We're proud to have these products. They will keep us healthy and keep us going here in 2018. Check also my KBC 790 KBC Midday Live talk show where I interviewed Dennis Rodman.
Really? He did, in the studio, or on the phone?
On the phone. It's the only interview he did on Earth in regards to
Is he going to win the Nobel Prize?
Well, I asked him this. And I said, Dennis, did you ever imagine that we'd be saying Dennis Rodman contributed to world peace? And he's doing really, really well. I'll tell you about it a little later.
Cool.
Next show. My co-host Lawrence Avant. We're there 12 to 3 Pacific time in San Francisco at 810 KGO in Los Angeles, KABC 790. Let's see. Simple to find the shows for the in a podcast form at drdrew.com. And also check out our new podcast, Swole Patrol Weekly Infusion, and the Dr. Drew podcast. Got some very interesting guests coming in all the podcasts. So please stay tuned. We thank you all for being here. Thank you all for calling. And thank you all for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.